Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy this message and please study along with us.
Get up and share. It's been quite a while since I've been able to minister in this platform, but I'm thankful that I continually get a chance to share the things on my heart. So God is able to get done what he wants me to get done. But the last time I ministered from this platform, I think it was last year before I had my knee surgery, I was really dealing with then, and it's still along those same lines, dealing with the discipleship, the fact that we are his disciples. We are to, as has already been stated, present ourselves for the training, present ourselves to be prepared to be the disciples that our Father desires us to be. First time I've been able to minister and stand for a while, I don't think I'll make it through the whole thing. I still get a little unstable, but thank God I'm making progress more than tell folks when I go to the gym. I say, yeah, I don't have the longevity yet to do a whole lot, but I'm doing more than I've done in probably 10 years. And I thank God for that. But when I get a little unstable, you'll see me just like you guys. When you get unstable, you grab that cane or I'll grab my stool and sit down because it's better to sit than to fall. What happens to me as I get unstable is my mind is more on standing and everything than it is on focusing what God is trying to tell me. And so anyway, we talk about the process of being able to be trained disciples. You know, when the disciples, Jesus called them aside to go with him, to be with him, Scripture says, to be with him. So that he could train them and teach them. And that's the same thing that is being done and called for in our lives, is that we should know that part of what we should do, even just as a Christian, and I always try to make this real clear, not just as ministers, because some of us aren't called into the fivefold, but we all have a very vital part to play in the body, working in the body. And so the same thing is necessary, which is to spend time with him. Of course, those of you who are making the sacrifice of getting up and getting here, especially those of you who get kids, I know how it is when you got kids. Get them up, get them fed, find that extra sock that they lost, find that shoe that they lost, and get them loaded up. I think everyone here with kids are driving in from out of the city. And we never take that for granted because we were always in the city and it was always a job. Getting up, getting them, finding the socks, throwing some oatmeal or something in their mouth, get them in the car, get them to Sunday school, all that kind of stuff. It's a job. And God sees it. The thing is, you are seeing the dividends from those investments you're making. You're seeing the changes in the lives. You're seeing that there's a stability in the children's lives that they won't see in most of their schoolmates' lives. See, Karen and I were just talking yesterday about the fact that we're dealing with a generation who are not as tough as we were, and we're not as tough as our parents were. You know, I listened to some of the things that Mom Camp talked about they went through back down the country, and even Kenny Wayne and where he come up out of back in the woods, him and Griggs, plowing and going on. That before the sun could get up good and plowing and in the fields and what you had to do. And a lot of us not that tough. And this next generation is even softer from that standpoint. And what I mean by that is there's a stability. And that's what I'm going to minister on today, is a stability that we look for and that we minister to provide stability. Today's term a lot is dealing with mental health. And that pretty much covers all of that. If a person mentally has deficiency, Little David spent a lot of time dealing with this in his ministry, talking about the fact that we're dealing with a generation that don't have the toughness mentally to take stuff, don't have the ability. All of the bullying that some of us had to endure and some of us issued. If I wasn't enduring it, I was issuing it. You know, I had to learn how to handle both ways. You don't have to learn how to issue it. You just mess with folks. But you know, you go to school and folks picking on you and talking about you and trying to flush you in the toilet to show that they're bad and stuff. And if you're not a fighter like I wasn't at that age, you know, you just take it and don't get flushed. You ain't gonna flush me. But anyway, you take it and you go on and go to class and you shake it off and go on. Nowadays, it's a generation that don't handle it as well. You've got record rates of suicide and folks quitting and leaving. The education that is free for the children that some of our parents, grandparents died to get us an opportunity to do. It's hard to get as many to stay and get it because they don't have the mental toughness, the stability. And it comes through our spiritual understanding and what we exhibit and what we pass down. See? We're training to be mentally tough. And it, of course, we see it on the jobs. We talk about this all the time. You have employees that can't take what we used to take. Ain't gonna take it. And you try to put it on them, they'll walk out, walk next door. And the thing is, folks need help so badly, they'll hire them right up. Hey, I just fired them because I caught them stealing. That's okay. I need them. You know, I've had that actually happen. You know, well, right out of my door after I catch them stealing, well, right next door to McDonald's and get a job. I mean, what do they have to lose? Take what they can take. So, but they can't take the pressures. They can't take, especially you see it also in athletes. So many athletes who could have really gone a long ways, but their coach get on them and push that pressure on them and everything. Now, I stopped football after ninth grade because I ain't like the coach dogging me out, calling me all kinds of names. You know, you're going to call me all these names and stuff, and I'm halfway sitting on the bench most of the time anyway, I go get in the band. I was already in the band, but I'll just stick with the band. I could shine there, you know. They don't call me, I can't say the names, the nickname that coach had for me, but they don't call me that over there. I can go over there and get in trouble playing around and going on, but still do my thing. But anyway, we're looking at, in our discipling process, we're looking at building strength of character, building the knowledge base in the children. And that comes from being with him. He pulled his disciples to be with him to learn. It comes from us being with him, not just on Sunday, which, believe me, like I said, it's appreciated and it's needed. A lot of people don't know that they still need the pastoring. They think, well, I can just turn on any device and listen to so-and-so and be okay. And that's better than nothing. Thank God for it. But it doesn't take the place of a personal pastor in your life and in your business when necessary to help fix stuff that needs fixing. There was a saying that I heard from someone quoted a monk. And, you know, monks are those who give themselves to whatever the calling is, whatever the religion is. Some of them are Christians, some of them are others, other religions or whatever. They just totally leave and get aside, and that's all they do is spend time with the religion that they're involved in. And, you know, you go back to that old show Kung Fu. He was a, was it Shaolin monk, where he they went and they just, all they do, they 24/7, they just giving themselves to whatever their belief is. But anyway, so I quoted one monk saying something, and it really caught my attention. What he said was, and then we're going to look at some scripture. You have to be willing to not be secure, willing to not be esteemed, and willing to not be in control. And that comes down to a lot of scriptures that deal with the fact that my security can't be in what the normal society calls security. My security is in God. The first scripture I want to go to is 1 Timothy 16. 1 Timothy 16. Let's start with I'm sorry, showing you find 1 Timothy 16, you're doing some stuff. you got one of the special Bibles. 1 Timothy 6. and I'm sorry, I'm a little thrown off because my Wi-Fi was out at the house last night, and I didn't get to get my notes and my pad downloaded right. And so I'm dealing with my phone, which means I got to flip back and forth between things. But in 1 Timothy 6, let's start with, I'm going to start with verse 1 and going to read through and get to the point I'm trying to make about the fact that there's a security that folks, most of us, have grown up thinking. I know the older generation over us, we saw them when the blessing came of being able to own their own home. And this is still true today. How big of a thing that was, because up until the 50s, 60s, it was almost unheard of to certain folks to even own a home. So that's why you see them get that home, work to keep it up, get it paid off. They know they live in a dream now because they come from a place where that wasn't happening, you know. But to get the security that God wants goes past that. Verse 1 says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. Am I in the right place? Okay. Because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions of strifes and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, because godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food, raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, their will is to be rich. They're caught up with being rich. The word avarice comes up when he teaches about this, which is an inordinate desire for riches. They fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money as some folks quote it, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. He's not saying flee money. He ain't saying run for money now. He calls the money to come to us. But flee this unbridled and this inordinate desire to get it. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast confessed a good profession before many witnesses. So he tells us when it comes to what I heard that Mark talk about being secure, you have to be willing to not be secure. I have to be willing that the securities that normally I would have, the security that bills paid, or I can pay my bills, I make enough to pay my bills, all that kind of stuff. What happens if I get in a situation where I don't have as much, or that's not the case? Can I still be secure in God as my source? And that's the mentality that a lot of people read and talk about and quote and say, but they end up like that rich young ruler. I won't go there for time's sake, but when Jesus said, if you be perfect, sell what you have and come on, follow me. Let's get with it. Now, some folks take solace in the fact that he said, well, he didn't say sell it and give it all away. No, he didn't. But even if God just told you to liquidate all your assets, am I secure in him enough to where I can liquidate all my assets and give whatever portion to the poor? But no, I don't have those assets anymore as my security. To really know, this is the whole thing behind tithes and offerings. We give because it's to show that God has us. You got me. So everything I got is no problem with giving offerings and helping others and doing for others. Because what I have, what do I have that he didn't give me? And can he give me more? Won't he give me more? Yes. And that's the security. So we have a mentality that deals with that security. The security is him. The other thing he said, to not be esteemed and to not be in control. Some people, and this is something you find a lot of in the children in school, not being esteemed, not being highly thought of, not getting the likes. Facebook and other places, if they post something, not getting the likes, getting the dislikes. Don't let someone say something negative about them. Just mess up their world. And you see that a lot. You didn't think about going shooting up schools back when we was young. Dislike the wrong person. that's pathetic, but that's true. Is that serious? That's what I mean when I talk about the mental stability is what we're working to form more, the same way God is working to form that mental stability in us. Maybe I ran off without my cloth and I'm about to start sweating here. Oh, you got your hands full. God is trying to form that mental stability in us to where we can know that even though, thank you, know that we're in a situation that we're not in control of it, and we're not getting the credit for whatever we're doing, which happens. Happened on most of our jobs. Done things for whatever reason. I didn't get the credit for what I done, what I accomplished. I remember one time before I left managing Juanita's, had my crew tight, and we handled this big, unnecessary thing that came up. Folks came from everywhere. Buses loaded, coming in and everything. I had my crew tight, we handled it. And because the owner's wife was planning on getting rid of me and worked, she'd been working at it for a while. After I walked off the line, hey guys, we did that, we handled that. And I got to the back and saw she came through the door and came to my guys on the line. Y'all did good, y'all did good. She wasn't gonna say that with me because she had her mind on getting me out of there. Well, I didn't need the credit. I trained them to do what they did. I orchestrated that, I'm cool. And the guys knew it. But can we handle if we don't get the credit? It's folks on the jobs that can't handle it. Folks in life, folks in here, who if they don't get the credit for something they did, they're messed up. And so I thought about a situation that displayed, I'm not getting the credit, I'm not getting the esteem. You're not recognizing my gifting, but you know what? God is going to change that. He's going to turn that around. I thought about what Paul went through. Turn with me over to the book of Acts. Let me see which one I want to go to. Where's the one where we toggle back and forth where he was on the boat? 27. In Acts 27. Remember the story where they were getting ready to take him because God had let him know, hey, you need to go and minister to Caesar. You need to go before Caesar. And so they would put him on a boat. He was arrested. He was a prisoner, but he knew he needed to go to see Caesar. He knew he was going to get to Caesar one way or another. And verse 1, when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. The next day, we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia, Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. And he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed unto Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came into the place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the laden and ship, but also to our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And that covers both of those other things that monk said. He wasn't esteemed. What he said didn't mean nothing. You're not a sailor. We don't know you. You a prisoner. So he wasn't highly esteemed. And he definitely wasn't going to get credit for trying to tell them something. He wasn't recognized properly. And so he wasn't in control also. And that's a big one. When I'm not in control of where things are going to go, when there's somebody over me, someone else who's in control, how do I handle that? Now that's one where you see a lot of Christians fail. A lot of folks I've had to help, a lot of time, the whole answer is that other person's in charge. The other person has to answer to God. They may not answer well for what they're doing or how they're leading or whatever, but they got to answer to God. You got to answer to God for allowing them to lead. Now, that's not only true in households where the husband has to answer to God for that final authority. He has to answer to God whether he makes the decision right or not. The wife got to answer for how she allows him to lead. But it's also true when it comes to jobs, when it comes to relationships. I made the statement on the network this past week. It should be easy for any two Christians to get along. We're talking about working together, married or whatever. It should be easy. If you look over in Romans 15, where it tells us to consider each other's good above my good. And if both Christians have that mentality, even if one has that mentality, they know how to deal with the other one. But if both have that mentality, you got two Christians. Oh, what was that? No, after you, sir. No, after you, sir. No, after you, I insist. No, after you. Two Christians tripping over each other, trying to make sure that the other one is pleased as much as I can, as much as God will allow me to do and sacrifice and please the other person. That's my mentality. So therefore, whatever comes up, if authority is the situation, well, I don't think this is the right way, but you know what? You got authority, so let's do it. And it ain't no dragging me, kicking and screaming, yeah, whether it's the boss on the job or not. And you know, we talked about this on the network this past week. How do I represent? A lot of folks were like, and rubbing it when we talked about that, because you can tell a lot of folks have trouble with that. When the boss is not directing the way I want to be directed, or where I feel it should be, or even if I know that they're wrong, can I just submit and say, hey, you boss, we're going to do it that way? And oftentimes you see God will bless in those situations because of our submission, the same way God blessed Jacob working for Laban. And Laban saw, I'm blessed because this boy working for me. Even though I changed his wages and cheated him and all this, I'm blessed because this boy working for me. And it takes that for God to let folks see that sometimes. And so then our security is not in the fact that we have things. Our mind is not strengthened because they recognize me. My mind is not secure because control. My mind is secure because my Father is working on my behalf. I had a dream. I was supposed to do that like eating. I had a dream last night. It wasn't last night, though. This was many years ago. I had a dream. And we were talking about it some this week, and the Lord's been really bringing it back to me and showing me some things concerning that. There's a particular way I want to go to this as I wind down. I'll tell you the dream first, and then we'll get into a few more scriptures, and I'll be able to wind it down. I can't remember it, and I need to sit down and really get my thoughts focused in. At least 30-something years ago. Don't remember exactly if it was before I realized I was called a minister or after I realized it. But the dream is this. That's how he did in Daniel. The dream is this. I saw myself coming in as we see the elite forces, whether it's the Green Berets or the Navy SEALs. You have five or six people come in, parachute in, unknown, all go to their different places where their job is. You got the sniper, he comes in, he goes look for his high place where he's gonna get and do his sniping. You got the other ones who look for their places where they do their job. And I remember getting in, we were on the top of the building, and I came and filtered my way down into the building, down the stairs into the building. By the time I got down in the building, it was just like this, it was church setting. Came down the stairs. I guess I didn't have Green Beret clothes on because I ended up coming up, sitting in, blending in with the rest of the church. That's a detail I hadn't thought about. But anyway, came up, sat down. Someone was up ministering. And I remember I was to look for the opportunity to teach. And opportunity came. I raised my hand. I was acknowledged. I came on up. And I started teaching. I remember myself standing there. I was teaching the Word of God. I was going at it, teaching and everything. And then There was an older guy, and we thought about the significance of that the other night. He got up, and he had to be helped. He was so weak. He was very, very, you know, weak and emaciated. And I think that's the right word. If not, y'all can fix that later. They were helping him. There's a side door. I saw them helping him. And I remember being elated because I'm like, man, you know, I knew I should have been able to help him. I was walking toward the back as they were helping him over toward the side. I was walking toward the back, getting ready to go back out. And I'm sorry, did I get off camera? You got me? You got me. Good. So, but as they were taking him over to that side door, he had on khakis. That's important, those of you remember, because I saw him, no kids in here, he just, blap, just defecated on himself. You just saw the back of his khakis just go brown, pap. And I was going to the stairs, getting ready to go out. And I was going up the stairs, it hit me, parapectillin, which is something that, like I said, I just found. I looked for it, looked it up. I remember asking Wilma Joy. She didn't recognize that medicine. She knew it was something in the paregoric family. But I looked it up a couple weeks ago, and I found it, parapectillin. And so I thought about that, and I came back down the stairs, went in the cabinet, found the parapectillin, took it, started giving it to him. Seemed like I gave it to some others, and that's all I remember of the dream. And so as I was meditating on it, God, there's a whole lot that God did show me and reminded me of, but there's a couple of main points that we looked at and that came to mind. One of them is this. We were just looking at the sower soweth the word in Luke, and we realized symbolically, this guy was not able to hold on to the words that he had received, because the word comes to fix anything that's not right, to heal, to relieve. The word comes to take care of us. Salvation, it includes more than just being saved and going to heaven. And so apparently, although this guy was an older guy, wasn't a babe in Christ, that means something. Been in the church apparently for many years, that means something. But did not have the ability. He wanted it. He was in church. And y'all heard me talk about it. I'm not good on going chasing folks down who don't want to be here and don't want to hear what we got to say. Last time I told Deb that, she said, I hope if I got off, you come. I said, yeah, I come to try to help you, but you run faster than me. I ain't going to chase you too hard. I feel like if you really want help, you're going to come to help. You're not going to run from it. You might need help. And some of you are more thriving in that ministry than others. I have a full-time job with those who want help. Been able to minister to those who won't help, who I see needed, and they receive what I give, to be able to look for what God wants that person to get, to be able to hold on and change the mentality. I'm not as sharp as some. I don't retain scriptures as much as some. But when God tells me something, and I'll get to that in a minute. When God tells me something to do to help somebody, I'm able to find a scripture, find a way, to an analogy or a testimony, whatever, to help them. And that's what really pumps me up. I hear too many folks tell me stuff they heard me say 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and it really made a difference in them. And so, man, I remember when you said something. I don't even remember saying that, but you said, I said this, and it made a difference in your life. Praise God. Okay, that's happened so many times lately. Folks say something that, you know, David shared not long ago about how after my younger brother had died, how what I told them when I picked them up in the car that morning, they were in school, young boys. What I told him really made a difference in his perspective on things. I mean, I believe I said it. I just don't remember particularly saying what he remembered. But like I said, David remember everything. That's one of his giftings. Thank God for it. Him and Walter. Walter's like an encyclopedia. You know? That ain't my gifting. But I thank God that what I can do, I do. But anyway, back to this. One thing that God showed me. When we looked at the sower, the parable of the sower, real quickly, and I'm going to have to wind it down. Luke 8, let's go that one, because it has some particular wording there that I want to deal with. He says, we know the parable, we've gone over it many times, but the key is, verse 11, the seed is the word of God. So this person not holding on to their bowels, they're not holding on to the seed, the word, which is able to give them the stability we talked about earlier, which is able to save or secure your soul. It's an anchor for the soul. All those scriptures come to mind that God wants his word to be able to do for us. Those young folks who are not secure to where if they get too many dislikes or too many bad comments, their soul is not anchored. Their emotions are not anchored. And so it messes up their lives in a lot of cases. You got kids who won't go to school because someone made a bad comment. Yeah, all this kind of stuff out there. Well, the word should be an anchor for the soul. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, they're here, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, that's not what we saw in my dream. A person was here willingly in church. They on a rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Okay. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What does it have to do with this whole scenario? The reason the word comes is to get a person to where they can produce fruit. God can get some fruit from that person. It's the word that's going to get us to where we can produce fruit. If I can't hold on to the word, we recently studied in the book of James. I don't have time to go back there now. About folks looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into the word, seeing themselves, but then leaving the mirror and forgetting what they look like. That word that I saw that showed me that I had something wrong with me, instead of getting it fixed, they turned and they went and they didn't get it fixed. We also looked at the fact that well, let me go on and finish this, and then we'll look at one more scripture. I think I'll wind it down for today. That on good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it. See? They don't lose it. It don't run through them. And they bring forth fruit with patience. So what we're looking for is the ability to help anybody who needs help, get the word, understand it enough to get it and hold it and keep it. Excuse me, and understand the need for patience with that. And God reminded me, he showed me two things, then I'll wind it down for today. One, he reminded me of a parable. Luke 13, let's look over it real quickly. In Luke 13, he told this parable, and start with verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and saw fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, excuse me, and find none. cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? In other words, it's time that I should have been able to get a payback for what we've invested in this tree. Like I said, nobody goes out and plants crop just for the fun of it. You're really looking for some corn or some tomatoes or something to come up. All right, it's not just the fun of getting out there and planting stuff. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, oh, I said that part. He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Then if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. The mentality there reminded me of the dream that I had from this standpoint. This is an older person, been there, they're on their own free will, but apparently not holding on to word enough to change their life, not receiving it, not understanding it enough, or sidetracked by the several scenarios I didn't want to get into, several scenarios that could cause the word to be of none effect. See? The traditions of men can cause the word to be of none effect. In other words, if I'm more into traditions than the word of God and what he says, that's something Jesus told the Pharisees, your traditions make the word of God of none effect. There are several things that can make the word of none effect, but at the end of the day, we're trying to do all we can to help a person see they need to change their ground. I can't pray and believe God and confess and proclaim that all of y'all are good ground because guess what? You gotta be good ground. I have to be good ground. You can come on out. I'm about to finish. I need to know that I'm doing what's necessary to be that good ground. But my mentality as a minister of God is to look to do all I can to do something to help that person be able to form a bowel. See how y'all watching the kids? Did y'all catch that one? Our job as ministers is, if I can say one more thing differently, give one more scenario, one more testimony, give my own testimony. Oftentimes, I minister to folks, I give one of y'all's testimonies. I got a brother or a sister who went through this, that, and the other, and God did with that same thing through them, and this is how they fixed it. If that's the one thing it's going to take to really catch their attention, arrest their attention to where what's going on is not, they can see it, how to put it to use, and form a bowel. Stay in them long enough to get the nutrients out of it in order for God to change their lives. That's how God has done with me. That's how God did with me. To get to the point where I can see the word, I desire the word, I want the word of God, and I'm able to incorporate it. Like I say, like Walter said, it deals with the bacteria, the good bacteria in you, which is, if it's, from my understanding, if it's not disease, there's some that disease causes that type of either dysentery or diarrhea or whatever. And it takes something to come back to disease to be able to, for the good bacteria to have an effect. Okay. But when you got someone who's at the point of death, and a lot of people are, it may not be physical, but it may be something else is about to die in their life that God wants to live. And there's a word they need to receive in order to be able to make that come to pass. God wants to be able to give them that word that creates the good bacteria that stops them from running off. And it comes down to being able to get a person's attention to what God says, what God will do, what he has promised. You can walk according to his promises. You can get his promised results. Okay? And to have the mentality that anybody I can, I'm going to work hard to make sure I can help you. If you're wanting to help, if you're showing, and it's my responsibility, if you come, or if you listen, or if you call me, to do all I can to help you to be able to get that formulated in you to where you can see some results. Amen? I'll stop.
thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45. And on Wednesday nights, we have Bible study from 7 to 8 p.m. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit your notification button to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. Rice Memorial is located at 15th and State in Little Rock, but for the time being, we're worshiping at City Church in College Station, Arkansas. Thanks again for tuning in.